Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. I also want to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can also find out about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which, of course, is the main sponsor of the program, and a number of things that are available there at livewithpastoral.com. There's some, you can certainly listen to past programs if you don't stay up for both hours of our Sunday night program. I post them there, and so they're available. I am currently up through February the 4th, last Sunday, on there. And then in addition to that, there's some articles and things that are on there that I post. I've got one that I've got to post called Healing in the Atonement. That's got to be posted yet. But the last one I posted was The Curious Case of Cain, looking at some things in regards to Cain. Remember Cain and Abel in the Bible. And then, of course, just a number of things that are there, and some other materials, some other resources, and comments on some things. And you can find all of that at livewithpastoral.com. And you can link from that over to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And as the name implies, we're in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And you can find us at 4174 Wheatley Road, which is right off from 77 and 271 at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road in Richfield. We're in a little commercial strip. Don't look for a building with a steeple or you won't find us. Look for Suite 200 at 4174 Wheatley Road there in Richfield. We'd love to have you visit us out there sometime. And, of course, I'm the pastor there, as I said. Somebody asked if I was assistant pastor or something. I said, I'm the only pastor because we're a small church, and that's just it. I'm the only pastor. And so I'm currently on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock preaching through the Gospel of John, on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock currently preaching through the book of Proverbs, and then every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, we have an informal Bible study where people bring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and we just have an informal time of talking about the Bible and exploring some of the questions and discussing things, and it has some refreshments and things, and it's just a nice, relaxing Friday evening, just centered around the Word of God. So we'd love to invite you to come out to visit those things, but in the meanwhile, stick with us here on the radio. Here every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight. And then, of course, we're here every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 1. And so if you miss those, you can find those programs as well as our Sunday night programs at livewithpastoral.com. And you do want to thank people who've been praying for me. A couple of weeks ago, you recall I was out with the flu, and Pastor John Lutz filled in for me. Appreciate that. Last week, back behind the microphone with a bit of a cough still, and I've noticed today speaking, cough comes and goes. So sometimes I'll go for a while without coughing, and then every once in a while I'll get hit with a need to cough. So I appreciate your prayers, continued prayers to finish getting through all this. And one poor guy, I know he's been dealing with this cough for over a month. Hopefully it'll be gone before then. But appreciate your prayers, and thank you for past prayers. All right. Well, we're going to get into some things here tonight. And again, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump into our callers here this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the radio tonight. Thank you for watching and making it possible, Lord. We just pray that you continue to bless, use this program for your glory. Help us appoint people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And in all things, we just pray that we would lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Use the program tonight for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got our first caller up, and it's Nancy. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I know you and I are both not sports fans, and I'm trying to go online to find out who won the Super Bowl. Do you know?
I have no idea.
I found this website, and it said Kansas City and the 49ers were tied at 16-16, but it didn't say that the game was over or not. So
yeah. Well, Kenny just informed me that the 49ers are up, what was it, 19 to...
What'd you say?
19 to 16. I guess they just kicked a field goal.
Okay, who won?
It's still going.
So going on.
I actually show you how much I follow it. When I came into the studio tonight, I had to ask Kenny who was playing. I saw Kansas City on the monitor. I saw KC, so I was able to assume that it was Kansas City. You know, and the thing of it is, I had heard who was playing previously, and to show how much I follow it, it just really had slipped my mind. And when you called, I was starting to think for myself, okay, it's Kansas City. Who's the other team? That's how much I follow it.
You know, as much as me.
Yeah.
And
so
I find out just a few minutes ago, and my daughter lives right near San Francisco, so they're big, San Francisco 49ers fans.
Yeah.
But I didn't know until just a little while ago even who was playing. That's how much I follow it too. So anyhow.
Yeah, I used to find it humorous when I was in the Air Force. When I was in the Air Force, I was stationed overseas, and we had all this equipment so that we could listen in on America's enemies. And on Super Bowl Sunday, I'll guarantee if back during the Cold War, if I had been the Soviets, I would have launched the attack on the West on Super Bowl Sunday on a close game. Because you got all this multi-million dollar equipment, you know, to tune in on our enemies around the world. And
right.
What are they tuning into? They're listening to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But I always thought, there's the time to attack. They should launch the first wave. You know, they if they had some, I can talk about this now, Cold War's over, I guess. If they had some Soviet agents as football players that they could coordinate so that they could have the game really close and then throw it into overtime right at the end, where it could go either way, everybody's attention would be riveted on it. They'd have made it across the, you know, from East Germany. They'd have been knocking on the doors of Paris before we'd even know what was going on. Of course, the flip side of it was on, I believe it was May Day. It was the day to go after the Soviets because they were all drunk and celebrating May Day and everything. That's just a big thing for the communists to celebrate May Day. And, I think it was May 1st or whatever, but, that was the day we would have had our chance. We could have advanced from West Germany. We could have been knocking at the gates of Moscow before they didn't know what was going on. So,
wow.
Everybody has their weaknesses, I guess. And all, but, you know, this is probably the most I've talked about the Super Bowl in a long time, actually. So, and I can't say that I intended on talking about it on the radio tonight, but it's out there. It's a fact of life. And,
right.
You know, it's, there's nothing wrong with entertainment, but when it becomes all encompassing and takes people away from God, you know, there's churches who would close down on Super Bowl Sunday that people could see the game.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we had our regular services today. In fact, we actually had our annual spaghetti dinner after the morning service today, and then later after the evening service, we had some leftovers. We had some pie and some leftover spaghetti, and so after church tonight, we enjoyed some of the leftover spaghetti and some of the leftover pie. And
I bet it was delicious.
Well, one lady in our church, she baked a homemade red raspberry pie. She even made the crust herself. Not a store-bought crust. It was a homemade whole thing.
No,
another lady in the church. And
I bet Kim Davis.
No, it wasn't her. So, but it was good. And we had a good time. So.
Well, I got a text from Autumn, and he said he had 7 balls. He really stuffed himself to the gills.
Well, you got to have meatballs when you have spaghetti. That's
right.
So.
Yeah. Well, so anyhow, my question and concern tonight is I know some people that go to churches where they believe that you can lose your salvation.
Right.
Which, of course, you don't believe that, and neither do our church, Bible Baptist Temple, or Pastor Sanders Church. But they're very nervous about if they have not forgiven somebody, they think, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 6, 14, and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you," verse 15, "but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So these couple people I know, they have not forgiven certain people in their life that it really have wronged them, you know, not to see where they'd be mad. So they're worried that God has not forgiven them and that they won't go to heaven, that, you know, their eternal destiny is not set. So what could I say to these people, you know, and one person in particular, I'm not mentioning his name, but he is really worried that he won't go to heaven, that because he cannot forgive this certain person that has really done a, you know, something wrong to him, he's worried that God won't forgive him and he's going to end up in hell. I mean, he's really, really worried. And I know he's probably typical of, you know, maybe a bunch of other people that listen to your show, especially if they go to churches that teach that you can lose your salvation. So if you could comment on that, thank you.
Well, you know, one thing that immediately comes to mind is I'd ask somebody, when you put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, how many of your sins did he forgive?
All of them.
You know, did he forgive you all of them? Yeah, exactly, all of them. Or did he only forgive you certain ones?
Past, present, and future. I mean, the Bible does say that somewhere, but I just can't seem to convince, you know, certain people, you know, that they just keep saying it over and over. I'm just so worried. I cannot forgive this person, and I'm just worried I won't go to heaven.
Yeah, and you know, that comes from a false teaching called Arminianism. And Arminianism, like Calvinism, which kind of goes to the opposite side of things, the idea is that there's difficult passages in the Bible, and both Calvin and Arminius came up with solutions, systems of interpreting Bible verses to help them make sense of difficult passages. And in Arminius' side of things, he looked at passages like what you pointed out here in Matthew chapter 6, and also other passages like Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 10, and he became convinced that these were passages that had to do with salvation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, some of the passages that they say talk about salvation and losing your salvation don't have anything to do about salvation. They may have to do with rewards, they may have to do with service, they may have to do with other things, but not always necessarily salvation. And unfortunately, people read these things, and because they interpret them, from the man philosophy of Arminianism, they interpret them to mean losing salvation. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a Calvinist either, because Calvin does the exact same thing. He had verses that were difficult for him, and so he came up with a solution and developed a system of theology to interpret those verses in a way that made sense to him. And he made errors in the opposite direction many times. He came up with the idea that everything happens because God has designed it to happen that way, including Adam and Eve's sin, including every evil thing that's ever taken place. And ultimately, everything that happens is because God wants it to happen. That's unbiblical. But Calvin was a young man trained as an attorney in the Roman Catholic legal system in his day. And that's where he came up with stuff that, as a man, it made sense to him. And Arminius was the same way. As a man, it made sense to him. Now, the biblical position is neither Calvinism nor Arminianism. I call it biblical or biblicism, if you want to put it that way. It's the biblical position, which allows for man's free will, which Arminius believed in, and it allows for eternal security, which Calvin believed in. You see, Arminius did not believe in eternal security, and Calvin didn't believe in free will. But the Bible gives us both of those things. And so because your friend is gravitated to a man-made system, he's falling prey to man-made errors in interpreting the Scripture. And, you know, it's hard to convince somebody of that, because when they're wedded to that system, they don't want to let it go. Excuse me. And so when we're looking at these things, we try to reason with people, but sometimes, and I'm not saying this is the case with your friend, but sometimes people have a belief in an outcome or a or a doctrine or whatever that's not based on reasoning from the Scriptures. It's just based on something somebody told them, and it seemed to make sense, and they accepted it without much thought, and they internalized it to their detriment. And so it's hard to reason somebody, as they say. It's hard to reason somebody out of a position they weren't reasoned into in the first place. So looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 in particular, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses." Now, keep in mind what's going on here. Jesus is talking to the Jewish people. This is prior to the cross. And he's I believe this is a Sermon on the Mount. Let's see here. I'm just trying to back up here. But he has just talked about prayer and about how we ought to pray. And after he goes through that, he gives what we call the Lord's Prayer. And it begins in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And that's where he now says in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." He's not particularly talking about salvation here. He's talking about what we ought to be doing. And let me bring another passage in over from 1 John. Okay? 1 John, and And we'll jump in here in chapter number 1. In 1 John chapter number 1, the Bible talks about the life of a believer. And he says this, and I'm going to start where the sentence starts in verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And cleanseth us from all sin is in the sense that this is something that's happening and it's ongoing. Okay?
Oh,
now,
okay.
Remember, he's talking to believers here. And he said, if we, talking about believers, say that we have fellowship with him. So he's talking about the fellowship that believers have with Jesus Christ, their Savior. And it says, and walk in darkness. Now, he's not talking about a believer losing their salvation. He's talking about a believer that claims to be saved, claims to have fellowship with Christ, but yet they're walking in darkness, meaning they're ignoring the light of Scripture. They're ignoring Jesus. They're following the world. They're a backslidden, they're a backslidden believer. And so they're really not in fellowship with Christ. You know, when I left home to go to college, I went from Ohio to Colorado. I did not have fellowship with my parents when I was away because I wasn't here. But I never ceased to be their son. Later, when I left Ohio again to go into the Air Force and shipped off to England, I was not in fellowship with my parents because I was in England, they were in Ohio. But I did not lose my relationship with them. I just wasn't walking in fellowship with them. And then later, when my wife and I went to the Samoan Islands as missionaries, we went halfway around the world in the other direction, I was not in fellowship with my parents then because they were here in Ohio. I was in the other side of the world in the Samoan Islands, but I never ceased to be their son. I was still in relationship with them. And and so this is what he's talking about, our relationship with him. And he continues, but if we walk in the light, it's the same sentence talking about our relationship. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. So we're experiencing the fellowship of Christ and the fellowship of other believers, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And this is in the ongoing sense because in the world, we sin. As believers, we sin. Now, if you could lose your salvation, how many sins does it take to lose your salvation? I would argue it would only take one, which means nobody that gets saved would ever stay saved, because nobody that gets saved is going to go and never sin again. We should try to not sin, but we're going to. And when we sin, it interferes with our fellowship, not our relationship. The relationship is still there. We're still his child. But we wind up in the darkness. And we need to be clean, cleansed, and the blood of Christ cleanses us on an ongoing basis from our sin. If we're walking in fellowship with him, we're confessing our sin, and the effects of that sin are being done away with. They're washed away. If I am walking not in fellowship with Christ, even though I'm saved, and I have an unforgiving spirit, hearkening back to Matthew there, and I have an unforgiving spirit, and I refuse to allow God to help me to have a forgiving spirit towards other people, especially towards other Christians, then guess what? I'm not going to be cleansed from the effects of that sin in my life. You know, I'm forgiven of that sin, and that's where you have to understand. We're forgiven. The sin, the wages of sin, which is death, we're forgiven from that, but the effects of the sin, they affect us. If I'm harboring an unforgiving spirit towards someone and I refuse to forgive them, then how can God keep me from the effects of that sin, which might include bitterness. It mm-hmm. might include envy. It might include anger without cause. Mm-hmm. Any number of things. God cannot mm-hmm. deal with me over those effects of that unforgiving spirit until mm-hmm. I'm willing to let it go. And so mm-hmm. here in that's why I said 1 John here, I think, gives us an idea. And it shows that we have to deal with sin in our life to experience cleansing from the effects of that sin in our life that can keep us from being used of God. Back to mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now take that back mm-hmm. to Matthew chapter 6. He's just talked to the Jewish people about how they ought to live, how they ought to pray, and how they ought to act in the world, and gives them this example. If you, let me get back here. He just finished verse 13, Matthew 6, 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then the next verse, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Meaning, if you allow God to help you to deal with those things, you're going to be cleansed from the effects of those sinful attitudes. But if you refuse to, how can you be cleansed from the effects of those sinful attitudes? You may be saved from the penalty of sin, but the effects mm-hmm. of that sin are going to affect you and those around you until you let God deal with it. And he's not going to deal with it until you're willing to allow him to. And so this is not talking mm-hmm. about salvation here. This is talking about, much like what John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, where he's talking about being cleansed on an ongoing basis. Jesus just talked about it in the Lord's Prayer, about the need to forgive one another. And I should have read verse 12, where he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is how we should behave. Now, he's primarily mm-hmm. writing to the Jewish audience, and this is prior to the cross, of course. And he doesn't just stop with forgiveness of those that trespass against us. He goes on in verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He's talking about how to behave as somebody who follows God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are willing to walk in the light and have fellowship with the Lord and allow him to correct us, mm-hmm. he can cleanse us from the effects of our sin. He can help us deal with the bitterness and the envy and the anger and all these things that cause us problems. But if we refuse to acknowledge that sin before God, then how can he work with us on that?
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of trespassing there, it's very easy, you know, when you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's not salvation. This is talking mm-hmm. about if you want to be an effective servant of God, you got to allow God to deal with you with everything in your life. And if you harbor some area in your life, unforgiveness towards somebody, mm-hmm. it's going to hinder you from being able to be the witness and the testimony to be the servant that God would have you to be. And so your friend is fretting over a misunderstanding, a misreading of the scripture. When he put his mm-hmm. faith in Christ, if he's truly saved, all of his sins were forgiven, including an unforgiving spirit. Mm-hmm. If that were not the case, I would say 90% of Christians would never make it to heaven, Because how many Christians out there can honestly say that we've forgiven every single person in our life that ever wronged us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that include maybe the bully on the playground when you were in first grade or something like that? I don't know. But there's things that I don't even remember that I probably never forgave somebody over, and I don't even remember what happened. But so hopefully that helps. They're worried about something that the devil has them tied up in knots over, and they need to just simply relax. If they know Christ as their Savior, they need to relax in the certainty that all sins have been forgiven. Hey, Nancy, we're coming up on the break. I want to thank you for that question tonight. Good question.
Perfect.
So,
perfect answer.
Thank you. And stay tuned. We've got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And also want to remind you that we are brought to you, of course, by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can find out more about that if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find a link to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church there. And you can also listen to past programs. And there's some articles and things that are available there, and some other things that I've written, just some different things there. And just looking at it, I got to update some things on there because I still have a lot of stuff featured on there dealing with Christmas. And so I think now that we're in mid-February, it's probably time, even allowing for Orthodox Christmas, I think I'm at least a month beyond. So I think it's time. I got to get some more things in there. I just got to get that caught up to date there a little bit. And I got some other things I have to list in there as well. So hopefully in the course of the coming week, I'll be able to get some more work done and update some of the things on the website there. But if you go there, like I said, you can link to Richfield Bible Baptist Church where I'm the pastor, learn more about us there. And that's our main sponsor, also, of course, sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And they're located at 4889 Turney Road, which is right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And I know it's no longer National Pizza Day. That was last Friday. I was talking about it last Friday. And I think if I had more time or was feeling better last Friday when I got done with the program, I'd have drove from the station here in Independence over over to East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights and gotten a pizza for National Pizza Day. But unfortunately, I did not do that, so I'm going to have to do that one of these days again. But great pizza, and certainly, you know, enjoy talking with Gus, the owner there. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. You will enjoy their pizza. You'll be glad that you tried it. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening, and a number of things going on that hopefully I'll get to in the next hour, talking about some things that's happening in Hollyweird and some different things coming up and just troubling trends in Christianity here in our country and indeed around the world. But right now, we're going to pick up Terry here tonight. And Terry has called in 888-677-9673 and to bring us his questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. So,
yeah, that was a really good question that Nancy brought up.
Yes, it was. It was. And this has been my my observation, and not every time, but many times when people have a question about losing their salvation, the passages that they use that they think tell them that you can lose your salvation, generally speaking, have nothing to do with salvation per se. They may have to do with sanctification. They may have something to do with service. They may have something to do with rewards. They may have something to do with, like when we were talking with Nancy in the last half hour, about the effects of the sin in your life. You know, we're saved, you know, and when we get saved, we're saved from the penalty of sin. But sin still affects us, doesn't it?
Yeah, the flesh.
Yeah, and so it's confusion that's out there, and as I said before, Arminianism, like Calvinism, are both man-made systems that are designed to help interpret difficult passages in the Bible, and the unfortunate thing is oftentimes they're full of errors, which then make it harder to understand clear passages in the Bible. This is why the person that believes you can lose your salvation has struggles with the fact that Jesus said that he gave us eternal life in John chapter 10, I believe it was, and that we will never perish. You know, what is hard about that phrase, eternal life, which means not the potential for eternal life, but just exactly what he said, eternal life, meaning It won't end and never perish, you know. And I admit never perish, you know, for you and me in the English is probably hard to understand, right? Never perish. But if you look it up in the Greek, you know what it means? It means never perish.
Perish, I was going to say.
That's what it means. How hard is that? But see, they have to take clear verses like that and reinterpret them to fit their understanding of unclear verses. And one of the things I tell people when you're trying to understand the Bible, you don't let the unclear or obscure verses reinterpret the clear verses. When I was younger, I used to like to do some rock climbing. And one of the things that you learn is that you make sure of a hold, a handhold or a foothold, you make sure of it before you entrust yourself to it. And you don't go on to something that you're not sure of. When you're sure of a handhold or a foothold, and you're trusting in that, and you're hanging on to that, and if you're trying to reach out to another one, and you're unsure of it, sometimes you retreat back to that which you're sure of, so that you don't fall. And you know, I've experienced that, and so it's good to be sure before you move. And there are people, unfortunately, they're holding on to unclear passages rather than to clear passages, like hanging on to something that you're not sure of when there's something that you're sure of that you could be hanging on to. And so
when I first came to know the Lord, I was taught that you could lose your salvation. And, you know, I used to live in fear all the time. Every
yes.
time I did something that was contrary to the Word of God, I was said, oh, no, I've done the unforgivable sin. You know, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, what, you know, what kind of faith is that to walk through life, you know, worrying about
You're in bondage. You're back in bondage, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, actually this morning at our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, I was preaching in Gospel of John chapter 8, and I was in verses 31 and 32 today. And let me just read it. It's one sentence, and it kind of touches on what you just said, what you brought up here. It says this, John 8, verses 31 and 32. It's all one sentence. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what he's saying here is not that you could lose your salvation if you don't continue in his word. What he's saying there is the way that we can know that you're saved, and you can know that you're saved, and other people can know that you're saved, is that you continue in his works. Because you tell me you're saved, but if you don't ever go to church, you don't ever read your Bible, you don't ever pray, you don't ever tell anybody about Jesus, how do I know you're really saved? But
yeah, that's the thing.
Exactly. But if you tell me you're saved, and then you say, listen, I love the Lord, I love going to church and fellowshipping with God's people, I love studying the Word of God, and I enjoy telling people about Jesus, you know what? That tells me there's evidence that you really are saved. You know, when I studied biology, you know, in college, one of the things you learned about life is there's evidence of life. There's metabolism, there's growth, there's things taking place. And if nothing happens, if there's nothing, there's no growth, no metabolism, nothing, then you'd be hard-pressed to make the case that it's something's alive. And so how do I know your faith is alive? Because you continue in God's word doing those things, and you show that you're his disciple. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about salvation and losing your salvation. But then, and this is why I read this, that second part of the sentence in verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It doesn't say set you free. Pastor John Lutz likes to point that out. If you're reading a Bible that says set you free, there's an error. King James Bible says shall make you free. And there's a big difference. You can be free while still in bondage. You remember the book Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan?
Yeah, which I've been meaning to read.
Oh, excellent book. I encourage people to read it. But this was one of the, outside of the Bible, this was one of the most published books in the English language. Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. It's an allegory of somebody coming to Christ and then growing and living as a Christian in a world that's full of challenges and danger. And John Bunyan wrote this book while imprisoned in the Bedford prison in England. He was in prison, and he wrote this book while he was there. His body was in bondage, but his mind, his spirit, was free because he knew Christ as his Savior, and he knew the truth, and the truth made him free. And, you know, we're talking about people fearful of losing their salvation. You were talking earlier about when you first got saved, being in fear, you're in bondage. But once you have the truth of the Scripture, that God gave us eternal life and you'll never perish and neither can anybody take you out of his hand, that truth, when you know that truth, you're made free, aren't you?
Yeah, and this life is in the Son. In the Son.
Yeah. And so you're made free. And you look at your life and you can see evidence that you're saved. You see the Lord working in your life. You see answered prayer. You read the Bible and you can see the Spirit of God opening things up to you and giving you understanding. You see God working in your life and answering prayers. And you know what? You say, I really am made free. The devil wants me in bondage, but I've been made free in Christ.
My friend Jamie that used to call in, died not too long ago. He lived in unforgiveness. He never forgave his parents.
Yeah,
because the way he was brought up, he drank. Matter of fact, you know, to cover up that forgiveness.
Yeah,
forgiveness in his life. And he knew the Bible better than I did. Like he studied the Bible a lot. And so you kind of wonder, you know, where was the salvation in the first place? But that's a question that always comes to me.
But you know, it can be difficult to forgive some people of things.
Yesterday I started watching it. It's called the Oxford Shootings. School shooting,
mm-hmm.
where that guy just went into school and started shooting up all these kids.
Right.
And people are giving their impact statements, and, you know, nobody had anything really nice to say about the guy because of what he did, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that'd be a hard thing if somebody went in and killed your kid killed your kid for life, right?
I mean, it would take, if I experienced that, it would take God making a major move in my heart for me to be able to say, I forgive you.
Right.
I would really struggle with that, I think. And now, does that mean I'm not saved? No. It means I'm human. It means I have a sin nature that I have to struggle with. And
unfortunately, they're in God's hands, and God will deal with them, and hopefully they come to know the Lord while they're in prison.
Yeah, well, you know, and there have been occasions where somebody has done something to somebody, and the person who is a Christian has said, I forgive you, and the person says, how can you do that? And it gives them an opportunity to share the gospel, and people have gotten saved through that. I understand that. I'm just saying, for me personally, I think I would find that very difficult. And it would really take God working in my heart. You know, I'm just being honest.
Especially if you had a kid and somebody molested your kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. If you're a human being, it's difficult. And the sin nature makes you want to hold on to that anger and that bitterness to justify not forgiving the person.
Yeah, and it's like a disease. It'll just eat at you. And it can grow into something even worse.
Well, the Bible talks about the root of bitterness springing up in you, and you know, it's just like poison ivy. Once it gets started, it's really hard to get rid of because you get rid of what you see, but the roots underneath the ground are still growing and sending up sprouts here and there and spreading. And that's where it takes God working in our heart, in our life. And as a believer, you've got to be walking with God and allowing him to uproot those roots of that bitter vine that's growing. And it's not an easy process sometimes.
No, we have to forgive everybody their trespasses against us.
Right, right. And well, that's where I made the statement in the last half hour. I said, if not forgiving somebody completely is going to send you to hell, then 90% of Christians would never make it to heaven.
Right, because each and every one of us have had problems with people in our lives.
Yeah. And can we honestly say that we forgave every single person in our life that's wronged us?
No.
I don't think I can. Partly because I know there's people who wronged me in the past that I've forgotten about. And could God bring it to my mind? I suppose. Yeah, well, he could. But some of it's dead and buried and in the past. Might have happened when I was in first grade or something. And it's really not germane to me right now today. If it was, you know, maybe I run into somebody that caused me problems in the first grade or something, and I have to deal with that in order to be able to share the gospel with that person, well, then, yeah, God would have to deal with me. But some of those people that I went to first grade with, I have no recollection of anything in my dealings with them. You know, I've got people that I went from kindergarten to 12th grade with, and I have no idea I can't remember every interaction I ever had with those people. So how can I?
You were in school with one of them, maybe Jeffrey Dahmer?
Well, but not from kindergarten. Only 7th grade through 12th grade with him.
And there was a guy that was a believer, and when the impact statement came up, that guy said, "I forgive you, sir." He said that to Jeffrey Donald for killing his son.
Well.
And I thought that was a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's where something, it takes a work of God in your heart. And unless I was in that situation, I don't honestly know how easy it would be to do. But, you know, if you're walking in fellowship with the Lord, you're going to be responsive to him.
Right. And you know, and it says, "Let our light shine before men, that men might see our good works."
Right, right.
Father, which is
and glorifies him. Yeah, and see, as I was going to say, as we're talking, you know, we can see some of the big things, and we tend to remember the bigger things. But in all honesty, do you remember every interaction that you've ever had with everybody you've met in your life? You know, the older you get, the more you forget.
I can't even remember half of my life.
Well, apparently, for Joe Biden, being old and forgetful is an excuse for not being prosecuted for violating the law when it comes to classified documents. I mean, I know a thing or two about handling classified documents. I've literally handled thousands of highly classified documents, top secret and above, in my time in the Air Force. So I think I know at least a thing or two. You know, I sent top secret documents and such all around the world. So I think I know a thing or two about handling top secret documents, and
yeah, but they blame it on his memory.
The idea that I could have got away with it by saying, "Well, I'm too old and forgetful." Well, I wasn't old and forgetful at the time, so I guess. But you know, when you look at that, but I bring that up kind of talking and poking fun at Biden and what's going on there. But what happens? Let's say that you're saved. Here's a thought, Terry. You're saved, you love the Lord, you're doing fine, you know, you're forgiving people and all that, and then you fall prey to something that causes dementia.
Right.
And you suddenly start finding yourself becoming forgetful.
Right.
And you stop thinking clearly, and something happens and you get upset with somebody. Did you just lose your salvation because you have dementia? And you
Absolutely.
Did or said something that you shouldn't have, you became unforgiving over somebody. Because I've seen some people suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia get angry or upset about something. And so you get angry and then you don't forgive them. Have you just lost your salvation now because you got ill, because you got dementia? Well, that's cruel, isn't it? You can be saved as long as you keep yourself prayed up. And if you get dementia, just hope and pray that you never do something that'll cost you your salvation, because you won't know and remember to pray and ask God to save you again. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
In my memory, I think the older I get, my memory is getting worse and worse all the time.
Oh, you know, I actually talked to a gentleman who was suffering from dementia. And he knew it. And one of his concerns was that he would lose his salvation because he might do or say something and not deal with it and lose his salvation and not even know it. And how cruel is that? I mean, yeah. I am thankful that my salvation is not in myself. It's in Christ, Jesus Christ, who died for me and shed his blood to pay for my sins, all of them.
Yeah, all of them, every sin that I ever committed.
Past, present, and future. So,
and you know, the guy, if we, I had a thought, but I lost it. But anyway, yeah, I should talk politics sometime with you. I study.
Yeah, it's easy to get off onto that sometimes. That's for sure. Sometimes I can go a little too far in that, talking about that more than the Bible.
I'm always watching CNN and news.
But I do think that Christians should follow and keep aware of what's going on, so we can pray for what's happening in the world around us. And I know we're coming up on a break here in a little bit. We got just a little over a minute to go. Did you have a final thought or something you wanted to add to that?
Just that we need to get in the, like usual, I always say, encourage people to get in the Word and really know it, because there's so much deception in this world. Like, you know, there's a lot of false teachers out there.
Well,
and if we don't know the Word of God, we can be trapped very easily into this false teaching.
Yeah, and it's like I said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And remember, Jesus said about his Word, Thy word is truth. You know, my word is truth. The word of God is truth. And Jesus himself said that he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need Jesus. We need his word. And that'll make you free. Not just set you. You might not be set free. You might still be physically in bondage of some sort. But you will be made free in your spirit to rise above your situation so that you can live for him. And have the confidence that you need.
And the Spirit can show us everything that's wrong.
That's right.
We're open to the Spirit to show us.
And he'll make us free indeed. Well, Terry, thank you so much. I know we're coming up on the break here. And appreciate you continuing the conversation. Oh, it got a little bit longer than I thought. I thought we had less than a minute. We got a minute left. But
I was going to say, breaking news, I just was watching on the Internet. And the breaking news is that there was a shooting in Houston. Osteen's Houston church.
Oh, really?
A guy walked in there, a lady walked in there in a trench coat and took an
Was that during the services today?
During the service, and started shooting, and one child got seriously injured.
Hmm.
There's only one.
Oh, well, hey, thank you for mentioning that in the break here. I'm going to try to look something up on that real quick, see if I can see anything. But and certainly pray for the people affected there. We may not be in agreement with all of his doctrines and things, but certainly we can pray for the people who are affected there. So, all right. Well, Terry, thank you so much for calling. And God bless. We'll talk to you again in the future. And stay tuned. We got an hour to go.
Recently, I spoke with a doctor who was fired for refusing to perform transgender procedures on children. "I'm a doctor, not a butcher," he said. "Children suffering from gender dysphoria are subjected to risky medical procedures such as hormone therapies, puberty blockers, and irreversible surgeries, risking chronic infections, permanent disfigurement, and long-term adverse mental and physical side effects. Biology tells us that from the moment of conception, we possess either an XY male or XX female gene pair. No medical procedure can change that. The Bible says God created man in his own image, male and female created he them. Gender transitioning is an attack on God's created image. Treatment should address the underlying spiritual, mental, and emotional problems causing gender dysphoria, rather than maiming or altering healthy bodies or interfering with the natural physiological development of a child." This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Let's pray for and protect children rather than mutilate and experiment on them. To do otherwise is mental dysphoria.